This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the Daily Digest with me, T. Xiao Ig and Juliet Jacobs. Today we have two stories for you. First up, the arts and culture community has been especially hard hit by the COVID-19 pandemic, and there have been no targeted forms of assistance for those working in the sector thus far. So we'll be looking at Cendana's recent announcement that they are implementing a joint recovery program to support Malaysian artists, collectives and arts organisations.
And in our second story, since the start of the COVID-19 outbreak, one question that has been asked multiple times is how long can the virus survive on different surfaces? So we're going to take a look at what the research currently says and what is the best way to disinfect surfaces. And on that note, we're asking you over on Twitter, how would you describe your current practice of sanitizing items? Was it not at all or only for things I've bought? The other option, only high-touch surfaces, or finally, I disinfect everything. Mm. So join in that conversation today. Tweet us at BFM Radio or send us a WhatsApp message at 018-789-8899 and tell us what you're doing or not doing.
That's right. So that's coming up as our second story. But first, we're going to look at the arts and culture. So you may think that this is perhaps not the time to be talking about plays and theatre shows or concerts or anything of this sort. But this is a critical sector in our society, involving a lot of people, their livelihoods, but also very importantly, the soul of our community, the soul and heritage, in fact. And as we've discussed in a previous show on the Daily Digest with local artist Okwilala, all shows and cultural activities have been cancelled or postponed indefinitely due to the movement control order. And this also includes capacity building activities like symposia, training programs, residencies and funding programs. And that's really a major blow in terms of lost opportunities as well.
That's right. And the financial loss is the most immediate impact that can be seen. The Star reports that major arts venues like the Kuala Lumpur Performing Arts Centre or KLPAC, Penang PAC and the Damansara Performing Arts Centre, DPAC, have all suffered losses of between 120,000 ringgit and 630,000 ringgit. Some of this includes projected losses if venues have to remain shut for the next few months. Mm. But the smaller independent theatre companies are equally impacted, as all their shows have had to be cancelled and there is no indication of when recovery will take place. So what this means is that everyone working in the arts and culture sector, including artists, performers, freelancers, production crews, administrative staff, they have no income and no jobs for the foreseeable future. So what assistance is actually available for them?
Well, so far there have actually been no targeted forms of assistance for the arts and culture sector. So the government has the economic stimulus package, which is Bantuan Prihatin National, and that provides a lot of assistance for individuals, you know, for certain groups of communities, for employees and certain industries. But the absence of tailored financial support for the arts industry was conspicuous. Mm. Now, some may ask, is it the government's priority to support the arts at this time? Some countries certainly think so. If you look at Singapore, they have an arts and culture resilience package totaling for in ringgit 167.7 million to sustain the arts and the livelihoods of practitioners during this time.
Yeah, and the UK and Germany acted even earlier. Back in March, the Arts Council England set up an emergency fund totaling about 160 million pounds. So that's about 863 million ringgit to support organisations and individuals in the creative sector affected by COVID-19. And from that amount, about 20 million pounds or about 108 million ringgit will be set aside for freelance cultural workers. Germany also launched a 50 billion euro aid package. So that's about 236 billion ringgit. Targeted at freelancers, artists and even small businesses. And the package aims to preserve the country's artistic and cultural industry.
So here in Malaysia, on 8th of April, Malaysia's Cultural Economy Development Agency, or Cendana, stepped in and announced its joint recovery program to support Malaysian artists, collectives and arts organisations. So earlier today, I spoke to Izan Satrina Mohamad Salehuddin, the founding CEO of Cendana, to find out more about these initiatives. So she started with giving us an overview of the most pressing issues facing the arts and culture sector right now.
So recently, Cendana had undertaken a survey between March 16th to April 9th to understand or rather build data to see how COVID-19 has impacted the arts and culture community. So in the survey that we had undertaken, 519 respondents were captured, predominantly from performing artists, subsequently musicians and visual artists. So in the survey, it was illustrated that 94% of the artists are fully or partially dependent on the arts for their income. And 93% of them have been negatively impacted from all the cancellations or postponements of activities that basically generate income for them. So as a result of that, they're very vulnerable and they're not able to put food on the table. It shows that 56% of the artists depend on this income to feed their family first and then their well-being, or to pay for colleagues who work on showcases with them.
And you say that there were 519 respondents, but how much do you think that actually reflects the entire sector? Does Chandana have an estimate of how many arts and culture workers there are in Malaysia?
So to be honest, our baseline report that we had conducted in 2016 only captured a baseline of Klang Valley, and that's more than 2,000 artists itself. But if we use statistics from Department of Statistics Malaysia, it shows there is a percentage of informal employment. And when we use that percentage against the baseline of what we had, we roughly estimated that there were approximately 10,000 artists working in Malaysia in the informal sector, because we are made up of pretty much freelancers.
Okay. And so in light of that as the background, can you talk a little bit about Chandana's initiatives under the Joint Recovery Program?
Right. So what we've done in this instance and in response to the data that was collected and in response to COVID, we had quickly reviewed our program. What we've done is we had reviewed the budget, cut some programs, and introduced new programs, and brought up earlier existing programs so as to ensure that these programs can stabilize the arts and culture sector. Our thinking is that during this period of recovery, it would be about 6 months, and the second phase, which we are currently calling recharge, will probably be next year. And subsequently after that, the next phase will be about growing the arts and culture sector. So when we talk about stabilizing the arts and culture sector, it's about ensuring that there's money in the artist's hands so as they can continue doing the work that they do and also continue maintaining some basic functions as an arts organization, or even put food on the table and sustain themselves and their families. So part of the funding program, we had introduced Create Now funding program, and it's a rapid response grant program that puts in 1,500 ringgit to individuals or 3,500 ringgit to organizations and collectives. Now, it's a bi-weekly rolling basis program, meaning that once in every 2 weeks, we have this program as a call for applications. The other funding programs we have are typically a 4 to 8 week call for application program. It takes a longer time. But this Create Now funding program, its intention is to respond to the artists immediately as soon as we can. So the idea of it is for them to incubate their work on a rapid period, and they can provide a digital output to us during an 8 week period as well. So the idea of the program is to cultivate and support artistic development and presentation of ideas in imaginative ways despite physical limitations to resources. So it provides an opportunity to adapt arts practice, explore new ways of working, and experiment with new forms and ideas. As a return to that, we do ask for a digital output from the program, so meaning that you can perhaps create a storytelling video, a podcast, an audio file, a video that you can stream and publish on your own platform. And we would also take the same output and curate it in Cendana's social media or digital assets as well. Mm. So that's one of the first programs. The other few programs that we have introduced is the visual arts funding program. There are two specifically. One is called Visual Arts Inspire, and it encourages visual artists with more than 12 years experience to participate in a creative exploration process and research excursion to assist in their artistic process within Southeast Asia or Malaysia up to 2 months. Now, priority for this program is two female artists and for artists to actually travel within Malaysia. So we're focusing internally first in Kuala Boleh. The second visual arts program is called Visual Arts Showcase, and we prioritize here independent, non-commercial, non-profit, not-for-profit, alternative art venues and artist-run spaces. So we would fund their exhibitions and for them to work with local artists to put in some programmings in their spaces. Mm-hmm. So this happens on April 28th. The Create Now funding program is actually happening now every 2 weeks. Following that, on May 12th, we have three funding programs. One is dedicated to independent music to produce their albums or music videos and do live showcases or virtual showcases. And then we would bring up two existing programs specifically on mobility and capacity building as well.
And looking ahead, like you said, beyond the stabilizing phase, what does Cendana have in the works to sort of help the sector get back to the development side of its work?
So the idea from all these funding programs is to help them get into developing works or to reflect on works. And we hope that the results of this will be evident in the year end. So in the second phase of stabilizing the art scene, which we call recharge, the idea is to introduce a new set of tools or perhaps different sort of financing programs to support the artists. So whether it is for them to do physical shows, to actually travel, there will be a different sort of programming as well for them. You see, right now, in addition to all the funding programs I've outlined earlier on for the recovery package, mm-hmm. we have also introduced a food aid assistance where we would help identify artists who are earning 4,000 ringgit and below in terms of household income. And we reside in Klang Valley as a kickoff. And our freelancers, food assistance will be provided to them via foundations or private partners that work with us. But it's also at the same time, we have rolled out some digital episodes on our website and YouTube to educate artists on how to use different digital tools that are available out there. Because we realize not a lot of artists are familiar with technology. So it is really an entry-level sort of educational videos.
I wanted to ask, how much will there be in total funding available under this program? Because like we see in Singapore, there is a specific and a very large sum actually allocated. Yeah. How much does Cendana have at its disposal?
So right now, based on all the funding programs that I've mentioned, including the food assistance and the digital webisodes, there are different programs under it as well, which we haven't announced, but will be announced in due time. And that whole package is approximately more than 5 million. Of course, if you put us in comparison to the other developed markets that have allocated very generously to the arts, of course, we kita tidak setanding lah with them. But I think the idea is to complement the Prihatin package that is available out there announced by the government with substantial amounts of in billions to support our Malaysian citizens. This is a complementary effort for our artists. Mind you that Cendana is part of the My Creative Ventures Group, And under My Creative Ventures, they are also supporting the publishing industry and fashion retailers with different sort of programs. There's also Rio that has also supported heavily on fashion and bringing music to homes via their Instagram and Facebook Live.
And is Chindana working with MoTeC or GKKM sort of to come up with a more comprehensive approach to help all the arts and cultural workers in Malaysia?
So what we've done is we had reached out to Ministry of Tourism, Arts and Culture and GKKM and other private institutions that are known to support the arts sector. And what we've done is we've shared data, which we have collected recently, so as to ensure that they can also reflect and push out the different programs for our artists. Not everyone can carve out resources immediately for the artists, but we're glad to see that there are foundations going on the ground to distribute food. I believe that MoTeC and GKKN had recently announced a series of competitions for the artists as a way to put money into their hands. And they've also introduced a market for crafts for so that craftsmen and artisans can continue selling work on virtual platforms. So when Chindana comes into the picture, it's pretty much on data advocacy and funding. And so in the bigger picture, you see different sort of efforts being pushed out there by different parties.
That was Izan Satrina Mohamad Salehuddin, founding CEO of Chindana, telling us more about Chindana's initiatives to help the arts and culture sector. But how far will this go in helping and what more needs to be done? So I checked in with June Tan from Reform Artsy to ask her that. But first, I checked with her whether she could provide an estimate of how many arts and culture workers there are in Malaysia.
No, I can't. Sorry. I think nobody can. And that's a really good question because I think the pandemic and COVID-19 has really exposed the vulnerability of the industry because we don't know how many artists there are. We don't have a body that for people to register or a guild or an association that kind of unites all the performing artists. And a lot of these artists are freelancers, so they're not tied to an institution or a corporation or a company. So it really makes it hard to track who's an artist. But we do know that there's a lot of creative work being done. We don't have quantitative numbers. And I think maybe the issue is we don't even know how to begin to start gathering that data at this point, you know?
Yes. And in a more qualitative sense, then, I guess, could you give us an idea of how artists with Reform Artsy have been impacted in the short and midterm?
So, for example, if you look at the venues like KLPAC and DPAC, you know, venues that we know, they have seen a cancellation of all their shows and they make money from venue rental. So, basically, they are not making money for the next 2 or 3 months and already, and maybe even more because there's also the post-COVID situation that people are also not really looking into at the moment. So, if you do see, like, for the rest of the year, companies, venues, of you know, they're not going to make money. So if you look at something like KLPAC, who have to sustain this huge building, this huge, like a few theatres, plus employing people, you know, that's going to have, it's almost as if there's no money coming in for your business for the next 9 months at least.
Okay, and now what we've heard is Chindana has announced its joint recovery initiatives. So there are a few different things being offered, including grants, food aid. Can you tell us to what extent do you think these initiatives will help?
You know, so I think that they are targeting people who are freelancers and who maybe don't have EPF, which is a great move because, you know, as I said, this is part of one of the vulnerabilities of the industry. Like you can't, you know, there's no stability for an artist. So trying to get them to get on this grant scheme, I think is very useful. The Create Now funding program actually is looking at artists to develop work or who's developing work in response to COVID-19. And most of it deals with digital platform. So I'm not entirely sure that as a long-term strategy that is exactly where it should go, because, you know, performing arts is a very lived experience. And if you are talking about social distancing and talking about what the world is going to be like, you know, what's the new normal, I'm not sure whether going virtual is actually where we really need to be in the long term, or whether we should be, you know, because I guess community still is very important, and artists and creative people maybe need to remind the community about that. So going virtual, going digital, you know, watching a show alone in your room may not really be the best response long term. But I think for the short term, like a balm, it's certainly very encouraging. And I guess in the industry where we hardly hear of any relief grants or any incentives that are targeting specifically artists, this is something that is very, very useful.
And you say that some of the initiatives target the freelancers. Then do you think that the organizations, you know, the theater production companies are being left out?
Well, the Create Now funding program also has a section for companies and collectives. When I say targeted, I mean there is a focus on that also, which is new, so that's great. But I think overall, yes, I do think like larger companies, especially that are dealing with, you know, that have large overheads, you know, if you're running a venue, I think more kind of like more emphasis and certainly more discussions need to be had about how can we support those institutions, because they are the ones that support other artists. Mm-hmm. I mean, they hire artists. They're the ones that provide job opportunities.
And just looking forward, what more would you like to see being done to help the entire sector?
Well, firstly, I think arts should really be up there in our national imagination. I mean, like this year, again, our budget, like 5 million ringgit, you know, was allocated to the arts, and 10 million was allocated for more like urban projects. Mm. And 5 million for like the entire budget of Malaysia into arts. Mm. It's really dismal. And I think to move forward, especially now when we are in this situation, all we do is consume art, consume creative work, whether it's through books, through TV, through kind of like interactions, you know, whether it's, you know, apps or games. We are consuming it. So art is keeping us sane right now. So I think for the future, definitely more consistent support for the arts, a priority for the arts. You know, it's a real opportunity maybe to shift this kind of thinking that art really can play an important role in society.
So that was June Tan from Reform Artsy. And, you know, today we've heard two perspectives. And what's clear is that arts and culture is more than just about a show or two. It's about livelihoods, business models, and the very survival of possibly tens of thousands of people working in one way or another in the arts.
Yes, and creating and developing everything that we are watching and listening to enjoying right now. Mm-hmm. So we hope that there will continue to be more assistance for them. We'll go for a quick break now. When we come back, we'll present our second story to you. But keep your thoughts coming at BFM Radio. Also, WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899. Stay tuned to The Daily Digest on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.